Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Beard, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. And the elder in Texas today is January 27, 2023. It's AR 6, 2026. And we're going to start our first service today with a song, and then we're going to have prayer. Our prayer thought is going to be taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, and then we're going to go into our sermon. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Yahweh and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in the high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Yahweh until those days. And Solomon loved the Yahweh, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. But that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings, and did Solomon offer up on that also? And Gibeon, the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by the night. Yahweh said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in the truth and in righteousness, and in the uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Yahweh, my Yahweh, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased Yahweh, as Solomon had asked this thing. Yahweh said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemy, that hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according unto thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, and offered it burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast unto all his servants. Then it came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh, my master, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this child, a woman's child, died in the night because she overlaid. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear." And the other woman said, "Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this said, "No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, "The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead, and the other saith, nay, but not thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "Oh, my master, give her the living child, and no wise slay it." But they said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, in no wise slay it, she is the mother thereof. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king has judged." They feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of Yahweh was in him to do judgment. That's what we have to have today. We have to have a king sitting upon David's throne again today that knows how to do judgment, and that this antiquated David will be such a person. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought. Let's go into our regular sermon. Okay, we're going to do track 8, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We've done it many times. We'll do it over and over, but there's always new life to be had. And we're dealing with the antithetical, the house of David, here in the last day. It says, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Start with page 1. Actually, they got labeled page 3, but we call it page 1. And it says, "Mount Zion at the 11th hour, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name." Now shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yeshua, the Son, and a royal diadem in the hand of Yahweh. Isaiah 62:1-3. Wonder of the divine love, fruition of the exceeding precious promise that Yahweh will continue speaking unto her until she become a great and powerful and resplendent light in all the world and a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh. The church is seen standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. For the revelation of Yahshua that the Yahweh gave unto him for the showing unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, Revelation 1:1. This affirmation that the prophetic events that John was privileged to record were to come to pass not before but shortly after his receiving the revelation of them shows that the prophecies of the revelation were to be fulfilled sometime during the New Testament period. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from the heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Revelation 14:1-3. Prior unto this prophetic event, the standing 144,000 up on the Mount Sinai, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, says John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat with a look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sat like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of the eyes before and behind. Revelation 4:1-4-6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders fell down and it says the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 5:8. 11 and 12. For the Lamb standing at first before the throne of heaven, stands later with 144,000 on Mount Zion upon the earth. So the elders and the beasts round about the throne remain in heaven. So correctly to understand this prophetic event and its entirety, we must carefully differentiate the part which takes place in heaven from the part which takes place on the earth. For the seven lamps, Revelation 4:5, being part of the sanctuary fixtures, gives conclusive evidence that the heavenly throne scene occurs in the sanctuary, whereas the subsequent sign scene takes place upon the Mount Sinai, the king's earthly palace ground, not upon Mount Moriah, the sanctuary ground, where it would necessarily have to take place were it to denote that the events occurred in the sanctuary. These scenes, therefore, are of the two different events and three different locations. The sitting of the throne in heaven and the standing of the Redeemer of the Lamb on the earth. While the activities embracing the throne scene are still in the progress. Moreover, the statement, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter," places the events and the typical apostolic period. And the statement stood as a lamb as it had been slain, bleeding, and the sinner's behalf, places them in the probation of time. Then from a comparison of Daniel 7, 9, and 10, and 13, with the Revelation 4, 2, and 5, 1, 11, already quoted, the fact is clear that both visions are of the same event, the judgment. The one reveals its occurring in the period of the nondescript beast, second stage, after its horn, which had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, had blasphemed, after the reign of the ecclesiastical Rome, and before the beast was slain and his body given unto the burning flame, Daniel 7:11, before Rome's destruction, and the other vision revealed it taking place sometime in the typical apostolic period and with in the probationary time. Daniel saw thrones set up and the Ancient of Days, the judge sit, showing that neither he nor the throne were there beforehand, evidently on the rest of the throne seat set the 24 elders, and finally he saw the Son of Man, Yahshua, as the advocate brought before the Ancient of the Days. Accordingly, both Daniel and John saw the judgment set and their books open. As John saw the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, after the judgment was set and before it was closed, the event consequently comes neither before nor after the judgment, but during the judgment. So now remember that John's vision at the, of the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, reveals Yahshua as a Savior, whereas his vision of the Lion of the tribe of Judah standing before the judgment reveals him as a king. Correlated, they show that while he is then the Savior, he is at the same time as King of Kings. It's now been clear as to when the 144,000 increased interest followers as to who they are, saying that they are followers of the Lamb, and typical apostolic believers, also sons of Jacob. They are therefore Israelites indeed, not Gentiles. Whosoever has been converted into Christianity, okay, whosoever has been converted into a typical apostolic congregation, accepting Yeshua as his personal Savior, has had an experience which has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hope, his entire way of life. He has renounced the world and all of his pleasures of sin for a season, Hebrews 11:25, and has become a new creature in the Yeshua, born again, heir of the kingdom, according unto the promise. This is what Yeshua meant when he declared unto Nicodemus, he must be born again. And Paul, having this experience in mind, said, if you belong unto the Yeshua, if you are one of his, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. Regardless, therefore, whether one be Jew or Gentile, he can have no part in the kingdom of the Yeshua save through the second birth, by which he becomes one of the seed of Abraham. This spiritual transformation, nevertheless, does not fix anyone's racial identity and tribal lineage. It cannot, in other words, make one Judahite if he is not descendant of Judah, or make him an Ephraimite if he is not descendant of the Ephraim. Consequently, 144,000, being of the sons of Jacob, cannot be of the Gentile nation. They therefore, first of all, are the lineal descendants of Jacob. He says, not necessarily of the present identifiable Jewish stock. For the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel, were carried away, scattered throughout the cities of the East, 2 Kings 17:6. And so completely submerged in the sea of life of the surrounding nation, and assimilated, that they were utterly lost sight of racially unto the human reckoning. Similarly, as the 2 tribes, the kingdom of Judah, were carried away into Babylon, with only a few returning unto Jerusalem after the 70 years of their captivity was accomplished, a multitude also of them lost their identity. Then too, the early apostolic congregation was made up of the tribe of Judah, the house of David, the house says here, Jews. He calls them Jews. Well, anytime you can use the word Jews, you're talking about the house of the tribe of Judah, the house of David. Only the apostles, 120 in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and the 3,000 who were converted on the day of the Pentecost. Okay, let's read that all again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then too, the early apostolic congregation was made up of the Jews, parentheses, tribe of Judah, house of David, who were converted on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:41. We're all Jews. In other words, of the tribe of Judah. As were indeed virtually all those who were added daily for the first 3.5 years after the crucifixion of Daniel 9:26 and 27. Okay, Acts 2:47. And even after this period was over and the apostles were commissioned to take the plan of salvation of the brother everlasting covenant of Yahshua unto the Gentiles, Acts 13:46, many more Jews of the tribe of Judah, house of David, became believers. Apostolic believers, and subsequently as apostolic believers rather than as Jews, were scattered among the nation. Further, therefore, in each instance, most of the sons of Jacob lost their racial identity, distinctiveness, and the Yahweh, however, has ever kept the genealogies of all nations, especially of the sons of Jacob. He will, as he has promised, make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Phoenicia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, This and that man was born in her. And the Highest himself shall establish her. The Yahshua shall count when he rideth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. Psalms 87:4-6. This just as obvious as strange is the fact that no one today but the recognized Jew can vouch for his ancestry, with the result that the 144,000 can be gathered from almost every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and yet be of the sons of Jacob. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the word of the prophecy, and this connection, that the Yahshua shall sit his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petra and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Assyrian shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. You shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. Isaiah 11:11-12, 27:12. Since therefore history, logic, and scripture combine their evidences for the proven unconditioned that Yahweh has preserve the genealogies of the chosen branch of the human race forward from Adam unto Noah, Matthew 1:1-17, and backwards from Asher unto Adam, Luke 3:23-38. He must then, for a consistent reason, also have preserved the identity of the elect today, and this we see is precisely what he has done in his designating the lineage of the 144,000 as of all the tribes of the children of Israel, Revelation 7:4. And though we know not what we are and cannot ever ourselves tell, for the one who knows all about us, even unto the last, a hair of each head knows our precise ancestry, although those of us who are to be gathered from the seed of Jacob are, says the prophet, as the sand of the sea. Whereas, comparatively speaking, the identifiable Jewish race of the day is but a handful unto the nations, and they, therefore, cannot today be the ones under whom apply the term Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. We left off on the term Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. Going back for a moment into the historical approach and to our subject, we recall that after Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes, was divided into two separate kingdoms, 1 Kings 11:11, 12:12-19, 27. For the 10-tribe kingdom, occupying the northern portion of the promised land, was called Israel, also Ephraim, and occasionally the house of Joseph. Israel, because of its majority of the tribes, Ephraim, as 11:13, because his kings came from Ephraim, and Joseph, Ezekiel 37:16, because he was the father of Ephraim, that the two-tribe kingdom occupying the southern portion was called Judah, because his kings were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore his descendants are called Jews. The term Israel accordingly often applies only unto the 10 tribes. So when henceforth in these pages the reader comes upon the terms Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designated, and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel and for the reuniting them into one great kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven, said the Yahshua, is like a grain of the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of. Matthew 13:31-32. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Hosea 1:10. Hearing Yahshua's teaching, then rejecting them and crucifying them, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom which Yahweh pronounced upon them, when through his prophet he declared, you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. But at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. I see Romans 9:24-26. So happily, the same people, Israel and Judah, who were set aside and scattered, will in that day, our time, be re-accepted and gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, Hosea 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, and their lot from the days of their captivity, and Babylon even unto this very day, the children of Israel shall afterwards, sometime in the future, says the scripture, return and seek the Yahweh, and Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Or what is Yahshua's goodness in the latter days? It's the 144,000 that he has come to the Adventist Church from heaven. He came right down straight to the Adventist Church and to harvest and redeem the 144,000 as the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist Church, and to bring the Adventist Church to a close with the terrors being destroyed by the prophecy of Ezekiel 9. Okay, but David, as David, the king of the ancient Israel, had been dead for many years when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was the type of David to come. Accordingly, it is those who fear the Yahshua and his goodness, and a typical apostolic Israelites, that's antitypical of the apostolic, the 12 apostles and their converts in the latter days. Our time. Who shall appoint one head or king? The antitypical David. For a complete study of Hosea 1 and 2, read our tract number 4, The Latest News for Mother. From the clear-cut facts in the preceding paragraph, we see that the children of Israel are dispersed and without a king these many days are to return, not as Jews, but as antitypical apostolic members of the 12 tribes of Israel, including Judah the lawgiver, the tribe of Judah, which the house of David sits his kingdom up on, the tribe of Judah, and the foothills of Judea there in Israel, where the original location was, and still is, for the kingdom of Judah to occupy, with the capital and headquarters at Jerusalem. This consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. You son of man, say to Yahshua, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and join them one to another, and to one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these, say unto them, thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Yes, Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. For this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, were yet begathered from among the heathen, among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44, that's this kingdom that we have been put in charge of since 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Moreover, saith the Yahweh, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since Yahweh says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and since she can neither multiply nor sanctify after the close of probation, the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time in the last parabolic 12th hour that we're in now. Since 2002, we've been in it for 20 years. The times of the restitution, the 144,000 being as the first fruits, there must therefore be the second fruits. For where there is the first, there must also be the second. And as the first fruits are the servants of Yahweh, they must subsequently be sent unto all nations for the gathering of the second fruits, Isaiah 66:19-20. A great multitude, Revelation 7:9, which John saw after viewing the city of the 144,000. For a detailed study of the study, the 144,000 and the great multitude, see our tract number 1, pre-11th hour extra, Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. For the fact that in their mouth is found no guile, Revelation 14:5. Plainly goes to show that they are for the proclaiming nothing but the pure truth, and makes their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the ever greater power and authority. In that day shall the Yashir defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Also in that day, further says Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David. Here's that fountain. And unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's the officers and the president and the king of the 12 tribes of David. That's where the kingly palace ground is, out there on the hill, there in Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. When this fountain for sin and for uncleanness is finally open unto the house of David, the crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of teaching and preaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant, the new covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews chapter 10, in all of the world. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:10. That is, at the time that this proclaiming of the new and living way through the blood of the everlasting covenant by the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, kingdom is set up, it will be a congregation without guile. It will be a congregation of Israel without guile, free from all idolaters and false teachers. And it shall be fed by one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their Savior, Redeemer, by my blood, Revelation 5:9-11, and my servant David, a prince among them, Ezekiel 34:23-24. When the Yahshua thus takes the reins in his own hands, Testimonies, Ministries, page 300, and he took the reins in his own hands. At the Passover 2002 at Kermit, Texas, closing out the third and last feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist, and closing out the sixth seal and the judgment of the dead, and opening up the judgment of the living, here starting at the Passover 2002. Brother Johnson started with the ancient man for the house, Brother Stephen Johnson, Ezekiel 9:6. And 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must first begin at the house of Yahweh. Well, that's where it was at. And again, it rules the congregation of Israel as a theocratic government in the last days. So, Israel is going to be ruled as a theocratic, purified government. Here in the last days, meaning the last days are in the 12th parabolic era that we're in now, so it's going to happen in this hour. It shall come to pass, as says Isaiah, that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall come through unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the house of the Yahweh of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of the Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, Isaiah 2 to the 4. So with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom, and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be on the one hand a great awakening among the nations, scrapping vast stores of war implements, which they have for years been laying up. They shall seek to go up also and become subjects of the kingdom, of this everlasting kingdom of David, that is stationed right there at Jerusalem, and with the 144,000 sitting on the 12 thrones of David and David's kingdom, and to join the armies of the Yeshua. Okay, so these going to go up and join Yahweh. They're going to close out their armies, and they're going to go up there and join the theocratic government of Israel and become members of the army of Yeshua, allowing him to fight for them. So he said, "Boy, we'll become members with Yeshua of his army, and he'll fight for us." While on the other hand, there shall be feverish war preparation among those who refuse to awaken, hurling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into the weapons of war against the kingdom of the Assyria, his church. Joel 3:9-12. Zechariah 12:3. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yeshua, the Zion of the Holy One. And we know the Holy One is Yeshua, the Son that Isaiah referred to many times in his book, Isaiah 60:11-14. For further study on this phase of the study, see The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 173-181, explaining Micah 4, and as a typical example of how this battle is a Yeshua, read 2 Chronicles 20:15-19, 20:40-30. But being far, very far from such high and holy estate, the church must be purified. No believer of any faith can honestly deny the church's need of the purification, and as the Yeshua never does anything without forewarning his church, he is now sending unto her the message of the purification in order for the giving her a foretaste of the future glory, so that as a heaven clarion call for the Reformation continues sounding forth among his people, they may have a keen relish for its truth, and they give themselves wholeheartedly to the work of reform right now, while he is clearly laying before them his plan for the setting up of his kingdom, with the consequent result for the sinner. Those who give implicit heed unto the call shall have an irresistible desire to come fully into the line and to have the Yeshua separate them from sin and sinner. They alone shall receive the seal of Yahweh, and as the first fruits of the kingdom, 144,000 strong, stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, such a state of the holiness will today, just as in the past, cause the dragon to be wroth with the woman, also now to make war with her remnant. Revelation 12:17. A conflict which is further described in the words, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the sitting of the 144,000 holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Revelation 7:1-3. Here are brought to view two hurtings about to take place. One by the winds, the other by the angel. And two commands unto the angel. One that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Revelation 7:1. The other, that the angels restrain themselves from hurting the earth, sea, and the trees, till the servants of Yahweh are sealed. Revelation 7:2-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt. The question arises as to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent. Political strife or something else? As the nations have always been at war, this twofold work of the hurting could not represent the political strife, and as Yahshua said, that at the time of the end, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Matthew 24:7. It is clear that the hurting by the winds, also the hurting by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of holding back the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1. Accordingly, Yahweh's restraint of the full wind is his holding back the image of the beast activity, Revelation 13:15, against the saints, while his restraining of the four angels that they hurt not is his holding back the executing of his vengeance, Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18. Upon the sinners who trouble the church until after the sin of 144,000 is complete. Then trouble these two hurtings bring the time of trouble such as never was. Revelation 7:1-3 therefore reveals a twofold conflict. Wicked men against Yahweh, the blowing of the winds and Yahweh against them. That's actually Yahshua against them. Okay. Wicked men against the Yahshua, and the blowing of the winds, and Yahshua against them, and the angels hurting them. But though the blowing of the winds and the hurting of the angels, the hurting of the angels after the servants of Yahweh are sealed, will bring the time of trouble. Yet everyone that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered. Daniel 12:1. From these facts we see that this time of the trouble is held back in the order for the safeguarding of the seed of the 144,000 servants, lest say the very elect be brought down for the worshiping of the image of the beast, or be killed for refusing. Okay, since the revelation, all the books of the Bible meet and end, the sealing of the servants of Yahweh, Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecy. In Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. In Judah and in Israel, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that Yahweh has at no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in Judah and in Israel, the ten tribes, shows that this prophecy had the purification by the slaughter has never been fulfilled. So therefore, as the marking is the same as the sealing, the angel slaying is the same as the angel's hurting. For this hurting and sealing which John saw, and the slaughter, and the marking which Ezekiel saw, are again identified as one and the same. For this sealing of the servants of Yahweh is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in the vision. Testimonies to Ministers 445, Testimonies Volume 5, page 211, Testimonies Volume 3, page 267, by Ellen G. White. Among the markings, well, actually, this brings the third of our subject, our contact is at the 11th hour corner, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Sounds Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Well, I'm going to Mississippi, as the sounds are in Hill.
Upside and hell.